now. But let's start by talking about Thornaby FC. It's a football club in the northeast of England that's come under fire after dropping its entire women and girls teams. It means there's no girls teams from under sevens through to under 15s and the women's side as well. It leaves 100 players without a club. There's been a huge outcry locally and now nationally since the decision was made. Lioness Beth Mead says she's disgusted. Yesterday, the entire board of Thornaby FC resigned, leaving only two committee members who had originally voted to keep the women's team. Well, joining me now is Abby Lyle, who is team manager of the women's side. Abby, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for joining us here on Women's Hour. When did you first hear that the entire women and girls sides had been dropped?
First of all, thank you for having us on. We really appreciate it.
I think we just lost the line there to Abby. Just one second to see if we can get
sorry,
you back.
Sorry.
There you go. We can hear you. You carry on.
So, first of all, on Saturday, we heard there was an emergency meeting going ahead. And the secretary for our women's section, Rachel, she wormed her way in to get onto the committee meeting because they'd try to do the meeting without her. So she got herself in there because obviously she's the only female. And unfortunately, only three people voted to keep us. And then on Saturday evening, Rachel called us and told us the bad news. And unfortunately, it was hard to process. Like, we tried to digest it a little bit before we told the girls because we needed to do it correctly. But yeah, it's been a crazy 48 hours. We just needed to make sure we delivered the message correctly. And because obviously there's all different age groups, so we need to make sure that we didn't just outright say, that's it, you're gone. We needed to obviously support them and see what we could do for them.
Did you get any whiff of this before it happened? I mean, that the club has announced the decision on Facebook. They say it's been a difficult year. Did you have any heads up on this?
In regards to a difficult year, what they mean is some youths set fire to the clubhouse late last year. So as a community, we all rebuilt it. So we've rebuilt the clubhouse. You know, we've really rebuilt the whole stadium because it got set on fire. So that's what they mean to me in regards to a difficult 12 months. Financially wise, it all got done for free. So we had lots of sponsors come in and do it all for them, and volunteers from in the community came, everybody got spades out, you know, and got the drills out and all helped redo it. So monies wise, that's not what they're referring to.
What are they referring to? What do you think?
Little unsure. A little unsure. It's definitely not money driven, because women, we on our own, we support ourselves. So we have some main sponsors who we go to, who give us money. We don't ask for anything off the men, really. They said staffing issues. I mean, they've never come to us and said, can any of your parents do the cafe? Can they do the bar? So again, I think the statement that they put out didn't really help them, because they've actually left it in a bit of a cloud. So yeah, I'm unsure what the issue is.
Do you know whether they voted for the men to have cuts as well, or do you know how that vote went?
No, absolutely nothing. It was all the vote was do we get rid of the women's section? So it wasn't on any agenda. You know, do we cut the men's budget and see if we can keep, you know, the team on, and we do X, Y, and Z with women's football. It was, do we keep women's football in the club? Yes or no? And that's ultimately the decision they made.
It's a huge number of women and young girls who are affected by this. How's this news gone down?
Do you know what? We've took some real positives, you know, away from it. It's been sad because we got to a cup final like last month. We had 800 children come and watch us, wanting the shirt signed, wanting to be the next Kirsty, Shauna and Harriet. So them little girls were, that, you know, whilst they do want to be Beth Mead, they want to play for Thornaby. You know, that's their club. And that's the sad thing, is that, you know, they want to come and play for that club. So the girls, the younger generation, you know, it pulls on your heartstrings. But the women's side of it, you know, from under 15s onwards, it's frustrating because they see all this on social media. They've come through a generation where they're really fighting to play football, where women's football was, you know, questions.
Tanny Gray Thompson, let's start with you. Your thoughts on what's happened at Thornaby?
I live about 4 miles from Thornaby, and I was contacted by someone who said, we're hearing rumours that the women's team's been cut, so that's why I posted. And I'm speaking in my own capacity as opposed to Sport Wales. But, you know, for me, women's sports come so far, and then just to cut the women's team, they could have done the same thing in a completely different way, leaving it as a really positive opportunity for the women's game, as opposed to just saying, actually, we're going to do without you anymore. And I absolutely understand, you know, pressure of volunteers and community and cost of living. And it is really difficult to run a club. But actually, women and girls just deserve better. It's simple as that. You know, when I was growing up, we weren't allowed to play rugby. We weren't, you know... There are all these sports that we weren't allowed to play because they weren't right for girls. And football is one of those sports that's breaking through that. And Abby's absolutely right. You know, it's that inspiration for girls who are 5 and 6 years old that could be taken away. So I think there's a lot of positives that come out of this, even though it's been poorly handled.
Does it concern you that we talk about this and the high profile, the Lionesses, when we see women playing in traditionally men's stadiums, we see all of that and we see the TV viewing figures go up. But actually, when you hear stories like this, you realise there is a double standard further down. And how do we get rid of that?
Yeah, there's absolutely double standard. I mean, you look at the attendances at Arsenal and the big matches, and that's just so exciting, which people, you know, a few years ago would have said would never have happened. But the reality is the Beth Meads of this world start off at places like Thornaby. And, you know, you need that encouragement. You need that support. You need to see people like you. And, you know, if we want to be successful on a world stage, which I think we do, but we also want women to be active. 80% of women are not fit enough to be healthy, you know, and these are the sports that can help deliver that change. So that what happens in your local community just matters. And it's been amazing the traction it's had, because it's these moments that show highlight how far we've still got to go. And the reality is, how you change it, it's hard. You know, that diverse board that they talked about is a step towards making that happen. You know, we should just want people to play sport. You know, it should just be that simple.
Let's bring in Stephanie Hilburn now, CEO of Women in Sports. Stephanie, we heard there from the first team of the women, the team of the coach of the first women's team, Abby, basically saying, you know, we need maybe the FA to get involved. We need to sort of stop these kind of localised decisions being made. And she was saying across the country, you know, we're talking about an all-male committee here at Thornaby FC that is replicated. Is that part of the problem?
Thank you. Yeah, no, it absolutely is. I mean, we've lived in a society where we've seen sport being something that men do. And, you know, historically, that was very much the case. We just need to put that attitude, we should relegate it to history. I mean, it's an absurd situation to be in. As Tanya says, and you know, as Abby said, we've got a crisis amongst teenage girls, mental health. We've got a crisis in the elderly population of osteoporosis, both things which are addressed by sport. There's a massive gap between girls and boys as to the amount of team sport they get to play. Something like 22% more boys than girls get to play team sport. I think the backdrop to this is we must stop seeing this as a men versus women thing. There's nothing that women want to take away from men's joy of sport, because we see our husbands, if we have them, our sons, etc., playing it and loving it. And, you know, no one wants to take that away. But the point is, it is utterly shocking that we are telling girls they don't deserve the joy, the learning of leadership skills, the teamwork, the friendships, the boys, of course they deserve the same. And it is heartbreaking to see these types of decisions. So when it comes back, as you said, to that point, who is making the decisions? I think these volunteer and community groups are amazing. We just need half and half men and women in them at every level. So and as soon as we get to that 50-50, it starts to shift the dial.
So does that need to come centrally? Does that need to come from the FA? Do we need a new kind of governance here? Because we've got a statement from the FA. They told us this In recent years, we've seen unprecedented growth across the women's and girls' game in this country, and we are fully committed to ensuring all women and girls can access and play the game, whether that be in schools or in their local community. We're currently supporting North Riding County FA, who are in contact with the club to see if a suitable resolution could be agreed. And yet, we know these stories because they hit the headlines and they go away, but don't we need fundamental change going forward?
Yes, and Tanya knows better than I, really. I mean, the major sports councils have had a code of governance for bodies which are funded by them for some time, which is about the balance of gender on the boards of the bodies they fund. But obviously, these are volunteer clubs, and if football lags way behind in the private sector because the Premier League clubs tend to be owned by men, it's very difficult to have a conditionality in terms of board makeup. But at the community level, we're very interested actually in why it is we can't get more women volunteers in sport. There's clearly a backdrop that we're doing most of the unpaid work, and so our time is very, very constrained. But if we can get more women volunteering and becoming coaches in sport, that would start to shift the dial. And if we can get more women feeling that it's a nice place to be involved in these community clubs, that would shift the dial. But actually, that might mean changing the way the culture of a club, because when we find women do join these communities, as we've just heard, actually, it doesn't feel a terribly inclusive place in many cases. But it's back down to stereotyping at the core of this. We need to bring our girls up to expect that they will enjoy and love sport. And we need to bring our boys up to stop thinking that sport is theirs and their entire masculinity depends on proving they're better at it than the girls.
Great to have you on the programme, Stephanie. Thank you so much for joining us. Stephanie Hilborn there, CEO of Women in Sport. You also heard from Baroness Tanny Gray-Thompson, former Paralympian and Chair of Sport Wales. Get in touch with the programme. Tell us what your experiences is. Text 84844. Julia, morning Julia, says, heartbreaking news about Thornaby to so many girls and women. Football is so incredibly important. I genuinely thought that as a society we had woken up to this, and I am shocked by what's happened in Thornaby today and that this is still happening. Thank you for your text, Julia. Get in touch with us. 84844. Maybe you play football.